Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy New Year. Welcome to another episode of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. It was a great year for the podcast. Go back and check out some of the amazing guests we had on during the year. But we are all jacked up to start another year of some fantastic guests and bits and shows and ready to expand the audience. But we want to thank you guys for listening over the last couple of years, and we're excited to be back. I want to talk about some of the sponsors that we are lucky enough to work with in the new year here. One of them happens to be Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Manskirt Brewing is in the old bank building on Main Street. They're putting Imperial Progress going into cans. It's their first IPA, a double dry hop. It's with tropical fruity progress hops and a little over 8% alcohol. That is Manskirt Brewing, a very cool place to go hang out. A lot of room and space and rotating seasonally inspired ales. Manskirt Brewing, give them some love on Instagram and Twitter. Now, Demented Brewing. Demented Brewing is located in Middlesex, New Jersey, and has one of the coolest facilities in New Jersey as far as going to have a beer in the tasting room. 16 rotating taps, something different every Sunday. Just a lot of fun stuff going on at Demented Brewing. They just released Hometown Hero, their Pilsner Lager, on draft in the tasting room. And this Sunday, they're going to be releasing Sloth, their milk stout, on draft in the tasting room. So they got bottle program. They always got cans. Just a really cool brewery, a really up-and-coming brewery that's really killing it in New Jersey. That is Demented Brewing. Now, are you waking up in back pain? Because 50% of Americans are. Sleep Ovation. Their new mattress has 700 tiny mattresses that individually cradle natural curves of your spine. This provides perfect comfort and spine support for back pain relief and the best damn sleep of your life. I got my mattress. I would not go back to any other crappy mattress. It is just awesome. So go check out sleepovation.com. Pre-order your mattress. Use the show code VERBAL and get $100 off your mattress. So you listen to the podcast. You know, if it makes you sleepy, you can go sleep on your Sleep Ovation mattress. So Sleep Ovation, give them some love. Now, Susan Robb is a woman out of Toronto, Canada, who works with Kim Ward and Paul Temple. She helps sponsor this show. They have something called the Nepal Outreach Program, and they're really looking for donations. Their goal is to reach $25,000 through individual and corporate sponsorships. In just a few weeks, they've already raised $5,000, and that's helped put 15 kids into school and supply 17 ladies and moms with sewing supplies in an effort to make these beautiful quilts. They sold already 10 of these quilts in a bunch of different countries, so they're on their way. Kim Ward, who is the executive director of the Templar Foundation, a not-for-profit 501c3, she's trying to secure a house for the first 15 women and to enroll all 17 kids in school this year. So they're off to a great start, but they really need more donations. Kim and Susan are working tirelessly for that. So go check out the GoFundMe for the Nepal Outreach Program and contact Kim and Susan on Twitter. That's Susan Robb, R-O-B-B. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer each week in various different locations all over New Jersey in beer bars and breweries. We run trivia. I host at Tap House 15 on Wednesday nights. It's just a great time. You can win prizes for free. You can win prizes even if you're in last place. So go check it out. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right. First show of the year, and we are excited. We have a fantastic guest. I have a big announcement to make. I'll let you listen to that, a big life-changing announcement. But first guest on the podcast from the duo of Blackalicious, well-known rapper Gift of Gab joins us. So with that, guys, thanks for listening, and enjoy the podcast.
Yo, peace, it's Gift of Gab from Blackalicious, and you are now tuned in to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cool and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Yeah. Back at it. Back at it. First episode of the new year, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
What? Is this like year four?
I think so. I think I started like 2014.
As far as like calendar year. But I don't know. But anyway, guys, happy new year to all our thousands and thousands and legions of listeners. Welcome back.
I.E. Dom Bagnato.
Welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. You know, it was a lot went on last year with this podcast. If you followed it at all, even just the last couple of days, we've been throwing up some little awards.
Yeah.
That we
on Instagram.
That we gave ourselves.
The winner is us.
We win. But just to quickly kind of go over some of our accomplishments of last year. Last year,
Daniel Pacina.
Last year we were able to interview, we totaled it up, 86 guests, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Which is phenomenal that 86 people would talk to us.
Yeah, some of them at the same time.
Which is a lot of episodes. It's kind of, when we put it in writing, like when we were typing it out, and then I sent it to you, I missed like 14 people.
Yeah.
Just because, you know.
I broke it out, and there was a couple guests here and there that were missed just because the title had one name, and then we actually had two guests on that episode.
Yeah, we had episodes with two guests, three guests. We had episodes with full bands on them, all five mm-hmm. guys from Finland, which that was a difficult interview to do.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun, but very difficult to...
especially considering we couldn't say half their names.
Yeah, Piki, Tumi, whatever they are. But overall, 86 guests. I didn't count how many episodes. I'm guessing 51 or... Actually, it's probably more than that because we doubled the Halloween and we doubled the Christmas.
Doubled the Christmas. I don't think we missed any weeks. I mean, the one week we didn't record, we put up the podcast we did with Mark Riccadonna up in New York. So.
Yeah, and like the one week you were away, I threw up
KiraCast.
Kira. So, you know, maybe we didn't. But so we had a lot of athletes, a lot of musicians this year, I would say, with the two big categories we had.
Yeah.
So we let's go back here for a second. So when we were talking about, we had science guest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I chose Abigail Harrison, who was the girl from the Mars Generation, and you went with Mike Berry. Berry, who was
he was the underwater crime scene investigator.
Yeah, that was in like 1 week we had like two. Very similar underwater guys. Remember, like, the next week?
Two out of 3 weeks, John Chatterton was the other one. I actually bumped into somebody who was talking it up about Oak Island. I brought up that...
Oh, that's our podcast playing.
Oh. Then why am I talking? Just listen.
That's how
classic shenanigans.
That's how we're gonna cram two guests into an hour. We're going to play them both at the same time.
Yeah,
one in the right ear, one in the left. It's
exactly.
Gonna be a real experimental kind of like trippy thing.
Like you want to be asleep when you hear it because like the dreaming part will bring in the guest into your dream, you know.
Right.
So that'd be awesome.
So, brother, the first episode of this podcast went up January 22nd, 2014. By the way,
yeah, I was just looking that up. I was waiting for you to go through the awards before bringing it up.
I did it first.
Yeah. No, The Simpsons did it first. I remember
so,
that.
15, 16, 17, 18. 4 years pretty much on the on the button. Mm-hmm. So
look at that.
Yeah. We had the underwater crime scene investigator. The next thing we did, I left a couple out, but the next thing we did was actor interview of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I went with the Ajay Naidu from the from Office Space.
After cursing me out.
Well, that's part of the reason he...
Yeah. And I went with Walking Dead and Blind Side's Iron E. Singleton.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Just a little bit more recap of some of the guests we had on last year. We went with... we made a food and drink category. Food and drink category. That's kind of how I bended it to get... Because we didn't have a lot of food guests.
Well, that was the thing. Like, I gave my answer, which was the Bug Chef, and you're
David
like
George Gordon.
Yeah, and you were like, I knew you would pick that, and I'm looking at the list, like, that it was that Zane and Sheriff Eric Levine. Those were the only three. I'm like, there wasn't much selection in this category.
Well, anyway, I went with Zane Lamprey from Chug and Three Sheets and Drinking Made Easy. Kind of all the same show, basically, but all good shows.
Kind of like us. Every week, pretty much the same conversation. Everything.
Same garbage. I like football. Do you like football?
Yeah, man.
Then we had Inspirational Speaker of the Year. Mm-hmm. I went with Coach Jim Johnson, the whole J-Max story on ESPN, and you went with Christian Picciolini, who was the reformed skinhead.
Yeah, and he's been in a lot of... different shows as of late, 60 Minutes. He's on the Sarah Silverman show. I forget the name of that. And he was also recently on Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Huh. Yeah, well, it all started here.
Yeah, yeah. All those shows are like, man, if they got it, we have no shot, but we'll give it. We'll throw it out there.
It just Hail Mary. Just thinks I had to delete that audio that you said, oh, man, it's a shame he reformed.
Well, I mean, that would have been way more interesting of an interview. And, okay, well, who else do you not like? Oh, okay, that's interesting. I'm part that, but go on.
Then we went with Female Interview of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Female Interviewer. I went with Arlette Roxburgh, who was the Devil's National Anthem singer.
Mm-hmm.
And you went with Aisha Ashe, which was the ballerina.
Yep.
But, that was a long episode, that one, with him and her and the ringmaster.
Jonathan Lee Iverson, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently she didn't share it out because she's worried we said dirty words in there. After talking about Broads, the first podcast she heard us from.
Yeah, it's funny because we were like, let's not try to double up interviews this year. And we look at our calendar and we're doubled up for the next like 7 weeks.
Not doubled up completely.
We're close.
Like, I mean, I don't want to say out names because we get cancellations all the time.
Never. We never get cancellations. People are dying to get on
We
the
tell
show.
Them, no, we don't want you.
Right. We're like, we're not in the mood.
No, no.
Then we went with Extreme Sports Interview. This we had a lot to choose from, too, I think.
Yeah, we had a good amount.
It seemed like a month there last year that we had, like, we were non-stop, like the Red Bull, like,
the Red Bull podcast, yeah.
Because we had the Diver, we had Kirby, who was my pick.
Kayaker.
Yeah, right, the Kayaker, and then we had, but then we also had, like, the Pogo Stick guy, and we had...
World Chase Tag. Parker
guy.
Payne.
Right, the Wake Surfer. It seemed like a while there we were getting a lot of those guests, which is cool. But I went with Kirby Chambliss. It was still one of my favorite interviews we've ever done, just for whatever reason. Very fascinating. He was the air race pilot. And you went with our first time we were ever on TV, I guess, or video.
Sponsor. Live-streamed.
Cool. Live-streamed, yep. We weren't there, but our logo was on World Chase Tag, which is professional tag.
And they're still promoting this upcoming season. I still see our emblem out there, so...
Yeah, I'm hoping we stay on it.
You know, we'll get huge in the UK.
That's fine.
For parkour enthusiasts.
That's fine. Maybe that's the job.
That's our niche.
Maybe that's the next job. Now, Musician Interview of the Year... was probably the hardest. Definitely, I know it was the hardest for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, for me, I was thinking the two guys from Coheed just because I follow that band so closely. We happened to get Travis and Josh in the same week.
Episode, yeah.
And the same episode for you guys. remember, I went home from work, did the interview at lunch, and shot back. But we had, like, even, like, the guys from, like, the guy from Lucky Chops I thought was really cool. And just a lot of different guys. G-Love and just – but I went with Victor Wooten just because I idolized him growing up.
That was a great interview.
And he gave us, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And
well, he's in Iowa, so he's self-explanatory.
He's still supposed to send me a picture with the shirt on – with our shirt on, not with a shirt on. Victor,
no,
stop.
It's shirtless again. Damn it. And pantless. What the hell, Victor?
Victor, gross.
What are you playing your guitar with?
I don't want to see you slap the bass. I don't. So I went with Victor Wooten. You went with Chris Ballew of the President of the United States of America.
Casper Baby Pants. Very fun interview.
It's always funny saying that to like a person like, oh, yeah, I did Casper Baby Pants. Like, what? No. Oh, the President of the United States. Then we had Athlete of the Year, which was another hard category. We could have done like Mo Bond. Did I do Athlete of the Year?
No, I don't think you did, Athlete of the Year.
Oh, maybe I made the graphic and never posted it. I could always throw it up there again. Yeah. But you are going to go.
No, the year's over, man.
You can't go back,
no,
man.
No, I don't want to hear about it.
We've come too far.
It's been like 2 days, man. 17's over.
You were going with Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember who I was going with.
Actually, you did post that one. Now that you said my pick, I do remember. I think it was the first one you put up.
Was it? Let me go back. I don't know. Epic Radio right here.
Yeah, we're looking at our phones.
Did
people.
I delete it by mistake? Something?
Let me check my...
I don't know. Trent Dilfer. I don't remember who I picked. Oh, Dave Andrechuk.
I picked
Dave Andrechuk, which was a pretty cool one because I had them both holding up the trophies. I wonder if I never posted that.
No, you definitely posted it because I do remember... seeing it. Yeah, you must have deleted it because I do remember it going up. I think that was the first one you put up.
Yeah. Well, I did Dave Andrechuk, Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh,
hockey,
look at you.
Hockey Hall of Famer, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went with Interview of the Year, which probably for both of us was Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah. If we could repeat, probably some of our answers would have been the same. But
right. Lenny Dykstra, people. If there's one episode you can go, what you'll like about it is that me and Mike are barely on the episode.
Yeah.
It's just Lenny in a either alcohol or drug fueled rant, I would say.
Running through the streets of New York City, talking to women on the street, yelling at him.
I think it was in California because he flew to California when we did it.
It was some major city. And
on the corner of heaven and hell.
Yeah, and he was also very concerned. He's like, oh, there's a cop. It's like, Lenny, you're just talking to us on the phone. Oh, it's a cop.
But we own Lenny Dykstra and Matt Pinfield, who was, Matt Pinfield from 120 Minutes and all those MTV shows.
Who basically started interviewing us after a while.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of nice to not have to, like, I was almost taken aback, like, to... Oh, he's talking to us. Like, he's asking us questions, like, where we're from, and talking about, like, Woodbridge, New Jersey, and just a bunch of random things. So those were our little awards that we did.
Sadly, all the awards got lost in the mail, so if you didn't get it, we apologize.
Yeah, yeah. The Verbies.
Yeah.
The trophies are on their way.
But sadly, Susan Lucci didn't win again the Verbies.
not too many bad interviews. Just a couple that we can think of.
I mean, even the ones we joke about, I don't think they were necessarily atrocious, but we pretty much know come next year we're probably not going to remember them or anything.
Yeah, so on we go into the new year, Berlo. Did you ring in the new year? Did you enjoy yourself?
Had a few drinks at a friend's house, pretty much nothing spectacular in that standpoint. Just ate food and then did the usual. Oh, it's got to do the countdown and all. Oh, it's Mariah. We got to listen to see if she screws up. Oh.
I was hoping for another train wreck.
Yeah, well, that's I didn't root for her just for the specific reason. I knew that that's the only reason why they brought her back. And if she screwed up again, they were going to bring her back again. And I just don't want to keep on talking about Mariah Carey, even though that's her favorite subject.
What if it just became like a yearly thing where it's like, will Mariah get it together this year? And just, it's every year. Like,
tune in next year. Same New Year channel. Same New Year time.
See, I was at like a New Year's party, so it was kind of loud, so I couldn't really hear her. Was it a train wreck at all, or was it fine?
Nah, it's usual Mariah, you know, that was kind of
notes. It sounds just like her.
I know.
It's uncanny how you can do that.
I try to get a job intimidating her.
I mean, those accents you did a couple weeks ago, just dead on.
I know.
Like, dead on. You should really be like a character actor. You should be like, I think Daniel Day-Lewis type work for you is it, man. Like, where you get into a character for like months on end and don't break character.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be the star character, but I'm the one they see in the movies all the time. Like, oh, yeah, he does that. Yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah, or you're like the one that, like, years after the movie's done, like, people like realize how great it was, like how great your character was.
Kind of like a Clint Howard. He just always shows up in movies and does it. You always don't recall him and stuff, and then you watch a movie, it's like, oh, snap, there's Clint Howard in the background there.
Yeah, I just had to Google Clint Howard's face to remind me who he is. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy.
He's in everything with Ron Howard yep. does. He always sneaks his brother in there.
he's the uglier of the Howard brothers, which is... It
that was a steep competition. That was one of the nominations at the Verbies this year.
Oh, ugliest guest?
ugliest... ugliest Howard.
I don't want to insult anybody. Ugliest guest would be a rough.
What do you
category.
Mean we got Clint Howard next week? Oh man, he's pissed.
Did you make any resolution? Are you a resolution guy?
No. I'm more worried about getting a job and all that. When I'm making money, then I can do stuff with it.
Well, I last year I made a list of things. I remember reading it on the podcast, and I looked it over. I accomplished about like 60-70% of what I wrote down. I wrote a bunch of things, but I figured I'd just pull up real quick. What do you think the top 10 like failed resolutions are?
Weight
gain, number one. Lose weight, get fit.
Read more.
Nope, not read.
That's what everybody does. I'm gonna read more. I'm gonna do that. Be nicer?
No,
screw that. let's see. Exercise more, or is that in the same category?
It's already in lose weight.
Well, I don't know.
Come on, expand your mind. Let's go.
I'm thinking.
Well, eat healthier, I guess, could be. Yeah. They can kind of go together. Lose weight, eat healthier.
Yeah. Get a new job.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Travel more.
Travel to new places. Ding, ding, ding. Show me travel.
Oh, thank God.
So we got lose weight and get fit. Mm-hmm. We got quit smoking. Quit smoking is a big one. Quit smoking. Learn something new. Get healthier and diet. Mm-hmm. Get out of debt was a big one.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Spend more time with family.
Nobody does that.
Travel to new places. Be less stressed. Volunteer. And drink less. Those are the apparently the top 10 resolutions.
We're not looking at our beverages. We're not off to a good start at number 10.
Looking at our beverages and our stomachs.
Dang it.
You have any goals for the show this year? As long as you're not in Buffalo?
Well, it depends on where I end up. Just keep on. Maybe do some more bits and stuff like that. And I would love for us to get like a YouTube presence on something like that to try to get onto a new medium and just expand the audience, if you will.
Agreed. I'd like to get a fully operational website up, I think would be good. Mm-hmm. Same thing, YouTube presence. I think, this year I'd say we had like 10 guests that were really big. Like I thought were like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like probably like 10, 12 guests that I never thought we'd ever talk to. So I'd like to get that same kind of wow factor somewhere along the year. Like at least guys like, another good year. Because this year is going to be hard to top. It really is. I'm not just tooting our own horn here.
Well, Obi returned for 2018.
There he is, buddy.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
I am back. But I think most of all, as always, would be to just get more listened and try to find new avenues.
Yeah.
But, you know, as the pool of podcasts grows more and more and more, it's like you just got to really worry about your content. And so we're just going to talk about the Verbies for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, I didn't bring anything, by the way. So.
But why don't we ring in the new year with our first guest? We got a big show today.
Okay, I will allow it.
Big name in the hip hop community. You like how white I said that? In the hip hop community,
the urban music community.
Well, that's the demo we're trying to get into. We can't hit that demo. But
stop saying urban. That will help.
But one half of Blackalicious, Gift to Gab, you might know him from Alphabet Aerobics. It's a very like. You know, that's one of those videos that went viral, but they got a lot of hits, and he's been in the game for like 20, and there he is.
For Earth years.
For 20, maybe we should just like use him like when we curse and just put Obi Bar.
What the Earth?
Some use for all this audio of him. I wonder if you extracted all the audio of him barking, how long of a podcast that would be.
That would be intriguing.
Yeah. I would never do it because it would take, it would just take.
All right, we hire an intern. Yes. And that's their first project. Listen to all the
podcasts. Extract all the barks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think about that. You'd have to listen through
the entire episode.
100 and, yeah. basically minus like a couple episodes where we weren't here, but you'd have to listen to like a
Obi, how are you at Tap House 15? What the hell?
Like 300 hours of audio. That's like torture in some countries.
Yeah, that's my voice on there, and I don't want to listen to it.
No, I don't even listen anymore. I just listen where I have to edit, but like I barely listen to us. I check the audio. I skim through us. I'm like, oh, that was fun. And one day I'll listen back to some things. Yeah. But,
all right, episode one.
First guest of the year, guys, Gift of Gab. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Hello?
Hey, is this the one, the only Gift of Gab?
This is he.
This is awesome. This is awesome. I don't know if I call you Gab or
you just call me Gab, man.
All right, yeah, Gab works.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'll call you Gift or maybe even call you Of.
I don't think Gabby would work.
Yeah. But Gab, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. I'm Scott. This is Mike. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans, man. Thank you.
Yo, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dude, anytime. It's funny because I was talking about you before, and at this point, you've been in the hip-hop rap game for a very long time, and you're kind of like known as one of these guys who you're kind of respected all throughout, and people have heard you. People who are just like rock and roll fans seem to know Blackalicious. People who are hip-hop fans know it. Exactly how long have you been like working on the craft of hip-hop or the craft of rapping?
Well, it's been a long time. I started writing rhymes when I was a kid. In the 80s, the early 80s,
wow.
the early to late 80s. And, you know, obviously, you know, I got into it for the thrill of the battle. I was a battle MC before I was anything.
Okay.
And it was just about being the best MC in your neighborhood, in your school, on your block or whatever. And then, you know, as I grew, I started to write songs. Met X and we just started to create albums, you know. But it's definitely been I've been rhyming for more than half of my life.
Right. Yeah. Now when you were first starting out, was it like you said there was a battle rap? So was it battle raps on street corners? Was it battle raps in concert halls or just
No, it was street corners.
Okay.
Street corners, the schoolyard, out in front of the school, wherever the battle was to take place. It was still, you know, a culture. You know, it wasn't even about making money or having a career. It was just doing it for the.
Now, at this time, who are the big influences on you? So you're saying the 80s. So who and you?
At that time?
Yeah.
At that specific time?
Right.
Big Daddy Kane was huge. KRS-One was a huge influence. Rakim was a huge influence. Run DMC and LL Cool J were huge influences. EPMD. I could go on for days.
Right.
The Jungle Brothers, De La Soul, The Tribe Called Quest. I could go on for days,
awesome.
Man. I'm a fan as well as an artist, too.
And that's the only way to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, going back to the battle rap thing, we had a No Shame on there, and we talked to her about some of her, like, battles underground and so forth. When somebody throws out like a really sick rhyme, do you just like sit back and go, oh, that was some good stuff? Or did one ever like cut you real bad where you're like, oh, you son of a bitch, I want to slap you, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't want to slap anybody. I appreciate the art of rhyming. You know, like when I first heard people like Freestyle Fellowship or Hieroglyphics, it's kind of like,
yep.
You know, it's exciting to hear. You know, I'm particularly interested in people who raise the bar and people who kind of expand on what's already there, you know, and take it places where it hasn't been, you know?
Yeah. Now, did you grow up in California or you were...
Yes.
Okay.
I am originally from the San Fernando Valley, Pacoima, California. I lived in I went to high school in Sacramento. That's where I met X.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we lived in Davis for a little while. That's where we formed Quantum. And for the last 10 years, or 20 years, actually, I've been living in the Bay Area.
Okay. Now, you're at an age, you're 45, 46 years old, and which is cool because I talk to people like kind of our age all the time, and you got to see the evolution of the music business as far as from cassette tape, from even records to cassette tapes to CDs to streaming to now vinyl's big again and whatnot.
Yeah.
How is it different from when you first started to now as far as getting music to the masses, to getting people to hear your stuff? What I mean, the strategy's got to be almost completely different at this point.
Oh, yeah, everything's digital now. You know, back when I was growing up, you still had cassette tapes,
right?
You know? And you would burn tapes. You would just, hey, burn me this tape. You'd burn tapes. Or even when you go to Tower Records or wherever you went to buy your music, you got cassettes. Or cassettes are vital. And then it went from that to CDs. But, you know, it's completely different now because everything is digital. You got to have a computer. You got to know your social media. That's the whole game right now. You know? It's connecting with your fans through social media.
Now, and you formed Blacklicious in 92 while you're going to college. When you were starting to do this in college and join up with different hip hop groups, was the thought process, okay, I'm going to get into the music biz, or was it still just, this is a little fun thing I'd like to do on the side and was looking for a
little bit of a job? Oh, no, this was what I always wanted to do. This is, like, since high school, this has always been, you know, I'm very fortunate and very blessed in that I am able to live my dreams, you know?
Yeah, when did you first start to take the idea of street corners and just doing it for the love of it to say, hey, maybe I am good enough to make albums and I'm good enough to do this for a living? When did that click for you?
Well, a lot of it happened in high school, man, as crazy as that sounds, because I would battle and I would rhyme and I'd win all the battles. And people just started telling me, hey, you should make a record. Hey, you should make a record. And at that time, you know, like I said, Rockin' was out. Big Daddy Kane was out.
Right.
Kid and Play was huge at that time. And all of my friends and everybody I knew was just telling me, man, you should make a record. So many people told it to me that I decided to take it seriously and give it a shot. You know, it's a journey, you know. Mm. First you do demos and then you don't know what you're doing and you kind of have to grow into it, you know. But
right.
It's definitely been a great journey.
How would you say that you have evolved from – like you said, you started in the 80s, so at this point it's 30 plus years of rapping and rhyming. Yeah. How would you say you have evolved as an MC?
You know, I think that how would I describe how I've evolved? I think my range has just gotten wider.
Right.
And obviously my content has gotten bigger. They say that, you know, you get too old to rap, but in my mind, it's like the older you are, the more you have to talk about,
right.
I would think. You know, I think that, you know, my range has definitely expanded, you know, and I pay attention even to the new stuff, even some of the stuff that I don't like.
Right.
That's out right now, the quote-unquote mumble rap stuff.
Yep.
I even still try to pay attention to what they're doing because I never want to be to where, you know, I'm just so removed from Eric, and I was like that a couple of years ago, and I was like, all right, let me at least peep what they're doing, you know. But I pay attention because I'm into styles. I'm very much into styles, and creating styles, you know, and creating lyrical cadences, original lyrical cadences, you know. So yeah, man, I keep my ear to everything. I keep my ear to everything, and I constantly observe. You know, I observe, and as I observe, it gives me stuff to write about.
Tell us a little bit about your early tours. Like, what kind of equipment were you going out there? Was it just you and some guys with some mics? Was there a lot of MC equipment? And how did it evolve as you were going on in your career?
Well, when we first came out, it was obviously two turntables, Chief XL on the two turntables and me on the mic. Mm-hmm. I am not really an equipment guy. I can't really go into what's what with the equipment because I just go in the mic booth and rap, you know, and right. I get on stage. Give me a mic and make it sound good, and I'm good to go. I'm not really a big that's more a Chief XL question. I'm not really a big equipment having knowledge on equipment type of person.
All right, now you start to make your first albums and whatnot, and when did the dream become real? Like, okay, now we're going on tour. Now there's people in the clubs like listening to me. Now we have something on the radio. When did that actually like hit for you guys?
Well, it was a slow process, you know.
Of course.
I definitely paid my dues working two jobs, three jobs at a time through the 90s. Thing about the 90s is, you know, around late 90s, we started going out and doing tours. I still had a day job at this time. I worked at a telemarketing place in Berkeley. And we'd go out on the road for a month, and I'd come back, and I'd go back to work because the tours weren't consistent yet. They were happening, but they weren't consistent yet. I think around the time that, it's been, like I said, when we did Swan Lake, we got a lot of love. When we did Melodica, same thing, Nia. You know, Nia, we sold 50,000 units independently, which was huge at that time.
Yeah.
And that's when labels started to look at us. We had, like, DreamWorks, Jive, and obviously we went with MCA.
Right.
And that was when it was just like, I think it was around the year 2000, and we signed the deal. And I went in for my last day of work, and it was just like a surreal because the whole day I was just like, "Wow, I don't have to work a day job anymore," you know?
Right.
And then when I was able to quit my job on good terms, and know that I'm my bank account is cool. I'm doing music. I got shows coming up. I'm making my living now. Doing music, that was a great feeling, you know, because that was the moment when it was like, wow, you know, we did it, you know, this is actually, you know, my dream has come true, you know. But you know, and I've had a lot of money in, I've had a lot of money, and I've been close to broke,
right?
And I've
gone back
and had money again and gone back. It's been a ride, you know. But as you get older, you learn. So I think I'm more focused now on a career basis, as far as the talent and as far as, you know, financially, just being responsible financially and trying to build a future. I think, you know, where I'm at right now, I'm in a better place than I've ever been.
Now, in 99, you came up with Alphabet Aerobics. It balances that simplicity but pure genius with the different tones of it. I mean,
it's so good.
Yeah, I mean,
I listen to it all the time.
Kind of tell us, what was your thought process of this, and did you ever think Harry Potter would be rapping your music one day?
Oh, no, nah, man. You know, that was great.
It'd be great if you were like, yeah. Yeah, I knew Harry was going to get on that show.
Yeah, no doubt. Harry Potter, shout out to Daniel Radcliffe. I was, man, 70 million views.
Yeah.
You know, people were aware about Alphabet Aerobics, so that's...
it's so good, though. Fabulous. It really is.
Alphabet Aerobics, we just wanted to do that. It was me, X-ing, and Cut Chemist from Jurassic 5.
Yep.
And we had already did A to G. Me and X had already did A to G off of the A to G EP.
Right.
And we wanted to, and then Cut Chemist actually came with the idea, let's remix A to G, but let's do something called Alphabet Aerobics, where you go faster each letter. So it was like, yeah, we with it. And, we went out to L.A., and I wrote it and recorded it in probably one day.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a great experience.
Well, it lives on in, like, in legend, kind of. Like,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I look all the time on YouTube, and it's all kind of different people from different walks of life that are doing it. It's a trip.
Well, I mean, it is great. I mean, there's no other way to really say that. But I wanted to ask you, I don't I don't even know. There's so many terms for different types of hip hop, alternative hip hop, and backpack rap, and I just consider you guys like intelligent rap. Like you said, Jurassic 5, the same thing. Intelligent, well thought out, like kind of always. It's old school, but yet really like well thought out. Where the rhymes definitely seem like they take a long time to create. Well, maybe they don't for you guys, but it seems like it. It's just very smart and well thought out. How do you like? It's got to be hard to like not quote unquote sell out and go do like a pop song or go do something.
Think we could do that. We couldn't do that.
I was gonna say, how do you do that?
Right.
How do I
do what?
No, like how do you stay focused on what you do? Because you could probably I feel like you, I mean, listening to you, you could do probably any kind of rap anyone asked you to, but you stay with what is meaningful.
Well, I'm a fan. Like I said, I'm a fan of hip hop. I grew up on people like Kane, De La, you know. And my music is just my interpretation of the music I love.
Right.
You know, and this is how I interpret it. That's the best way I can answer that.
Well, I mean, it works. Now, is it hard? You guys have now been around for so long. You have been around for so long, and you guys have been around. What is like on the forefront for you guys? What are you working on? What is your
new
plans?
New Blackalicious album dropping next year.
All right,
and a new Gift to Gab album dropping next year, both before the summer. So in the next 6 months, it'll be a Gift to Gab record, and it will be a Blackalicious album.
Nice. Now, what's your writing process? Are you a write it all out on paper kind of guy, or do you put it in your
phone?
Yeah,
I write it. I pretty much stick to the paper. I tried to type it on my phone. It just doesn't feel right to me. You know, I have to have the pen and the pad.
Yep.
You know, when I'm writing.
When you're doing these writings and you're doing collaborations, I mean, what's the process? Do you write something down and say, "Oh, this George Clinton would be great for this," or is it just as you're going along, kind of calling different people and saying, trying to figure out who's the next mesh to go with you, for lack of a better term?
Say that again. Repeat that question again.
So when you're writing stuff and you've done a lot of collaborations, is it that you, when you're writing, you're like, oh, this person would be perfect? Or is it just some kind of process is when you're working with the record label and stuff like that, somebody comes in and works with you on something?
Nah, it's none of that record label stuff. Mm-hmm. All of it's genuine. All authentic. Like when we did 4,000 Miles featuring Charlie Tuna and Latif, me and Latif always write together. Okay, and we were just like, wow, you know who would sound good on this? It's Charlie Tuna. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Gil Scott-Heron for First in Flight. He's like, wow, what if we could get Gil Scott-Heron and we was able to do it? You know, as we make the songs, we kind of go, wow, such and such would sound good on this. You know, and then we reach out. It doesn't work every time, but most of the time it works.
Now, when you are an artist, a rap artist, and most of your stuff is performing at night and traveling, what kind of things do you do during the day to keep yourself occupied?
I take walks through cities. I love traveling, so I like to walk through parts of the city that I, you know, but especially if it's a new city. Mm-hmm. I've pretty much been everywhere in America now, you know, and in Europe. But, you know, I like to take walks through the cities, go get something to eat, go back, you know, maybe rest a little bit before the show. I definitely got to rest before the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty much it. You know, go to do sound check sometimes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I love movies, you know. So I go to the movies a lot, you know. Regular stuff. Regular. Very regular.
Now, in a million years, would you ever thought that? Well, I guess you kind of did say, but in high school you knew. But in a million years, would you ever think that you'd be able to do this for a living without working another job and connecting with your fans every day?
I just wanted, back when I was young, I just wanted people like KRS-One to think I was dope.
And I, right.
When I was young and I first started, that was the goal. You know, I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know about touring. I guess I knew, but I didn't think about it. Until we booked for our first tour, and I was like, oh, this comes with this? Oh, this is great. You know? But, yeah, you know, I definitely wanted to make my living doing music, you know? And you know, that's been accomplished. It's definitely been accomplished, you know?
For sure.
Now, you're also, you dealt with some kidney problems, like, in 2015. Can you give us an update on how you're doing right now and what your status is with that?
Well, I'm still on dialysis 3 times a week. Wow. If I'm getting close to the top of the list. That's what they say at the transplant center. So within the next year, I should get a call and hopefully have a new kidney. Until then, you know, I still tour. I just do. The good thing is you can do dialysis on the road, and it's paid for by my insurance. So, you know, I've done dialysis all over the world. You know, I've done it in Europe. I've done it in France. I've done it in Hong Kong. Done it in Malaysia. But, you know, I don't let it stop me.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
Now, you look at your career, you know, you almost say, like, oh, I'm old, but you're not old. But you look at your like, there's so much more to go. But you're only old in terms of, like, rapping for 30 years. That's, like, almost unheard of. But you look back at the years past. What is, like, was there ever a show or a festival or something you did where, like, you kind of, after you were done, like, oh, my God. Like, that was an achieving moment of Blackalicious or an achievement moment of Gab, like, where you're like, wow, okay, like that, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. Is there something that stands out?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of standout moments, you know. One that comes off the top of my head is me. Excuse me, let me sit up. One that jumps right out is being in France. And just opening up for Mary J. Blige and Chaka Khan. Nice. I have the hiccup.
Wow. Oh, no problem.
That's what it is. and just performing to, like, a sea of African people. You know, it's a lot of Africans in France.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really euphoric, electric night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anybody out there that you've been really chiming to try to do something in the future with? Or is there somebody that you did do a collaboration with? You're like, okay, I made it. That's it. I don't have to deal with anybody again.
It was really good working with George Clinton.
Yeah, I'm sure, man.
George Clinton and Gil Scott-Heron. I would say those are the two top ones.
Who would you want to work with right now if there was someone, like, it doesn't even have to be, like, realistic, but if there's someone, like, that you could do one track with, who comes to your mind?
Kendrick Lamar right now. Nice. Right now, yeah. I would say Kendrick Lamar. I'd really like to do a joint with him where we both just go on some MC shit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see it, like, That is my favorite kind of rap. Just what kind of what you guys kind of do, like, and kind of keep that alive. It's good to see. So what is, other than the albums coming out, what can fans look forward to from you? Are you going on a tour anytime soon, or what's coming up?
Blackalicious is doing a tour in January in the Midwest, and. Also, I want to tell everybody to check out my Patreon page, my Gift to Gab Patreon page. Patreon. Patreon is a crowdfunding thing where your fans donate to you monthly, kind of like a magazine subscription.
Right.
And they get free mixtapes, free songs, exclusive material that other people won't get. So everybody check me out, Gift to Gab at Patreon.
That's awesome. Now, I wanted to ask you.
New Blackalicious album and Blackalicious touring. And, yeah, just keep doing it. We got to keep doing it, man. We've been doing it for a long time, and I don't see any end in sight.
Now, I wanted to ask you, when you're early on in your rap career and you're coming up with a rap name, is that, I mean, that's got to be so hard because that's got to stick with you for the rest of your career. Did you have any other names before Gift of Gab?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. what was my, Tiny T?
Okay, Gift of Gab's better.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Treacherous T.
Gift of Gab's better.
And then I kind of made the bridge. I went from Tiny T to Gabby T.
Okay.
And then I was the Gab King. I have no idea why. And when I was the Gab King, Gift of Gab was a song I did, and I was working with this guy, and he was like, he started calling me Gift of Gab, and I was like, nah, that's a song. That's the title of a song. He's like, nah, that'd be a dope name. So after that, I changed my name to Gift of Gab. I've been Gift of Gab ever since.
So that's great, because I was in bands where they were, like, when I, early on, like in high school, and they were, I was in a band called Not Quite Banana.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I joined there. In my defense, I joined that band. I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I don't know which is better. That I
that
joined.
Should still be your hip-hop name, yeah. though. That you should...
Wow. That's yeah. a hell of a name.
We went from Not Quite Banana to Linus, which was a much better name. Not a great name, but much better.
Now, Linus kind of stands out.
Right, right. It was, you know, there's the Charlie Brown character, Linus. Mm. It's just kind of
Linus.
One...
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No yeah, doubt. Yeah. Better than Not Quite Banana is what I want to say.
Right. I thought you said Linus with the M.
Linus.
Oh. No, I mean,
okay.
I could still start a new band and do that.
Give it a whirl.
Hey, you go.
Well, one last question. Do you see yourself continuing on stage? Do you ever see yourself just pulling back and being like a producer or something at the end, or do you just want to be for life on stage?
Well... I'm not by no means old, so you know I see myself doing this for a long time,
right?
Well into my 50s. I am starting to write books, and I want to get into writing books. You know, I want to be an author as well. And
fiction or biographical or
biographical and just you know. Just theory and spirituality and things like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask you before we go. So did the I always found this interesting because hip hop, as far as in terms of history, it's still so young. Like if you look at in terms of history, it's a blip on the radar. But now, like, guys who got into it early and made it something that, you know, is going to be here forever.
Yeah.
Do you find it crazy to think that, like, there's grandmothers out there and like, your school reunion, like, 50 years from now, like, you know, your 50th union, you'll be playing, like, Big Daddy Kane and whatnot. That's got to be really awesome to think about.
Absolutely. I got a couple of friends that are grandparents. Right now, so yeah, it's a trip.
So like that's what I mean, like in terms of hip hop it's so new. I guess we're not even we're probably the evolution of it is just beginning, really.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a long way to go. It's infinite. It's art. Yeah. Art is infinite. There is no timeline. It keeps going. It keeps expanding. It's no end. It's like there's no wall in the sky that you can reach. You know, you just keep going.
Right. So, Gab, if people want to go check you out or they want to go say hi or go check out your music, where's the best place for them to go? I know you said the Patreon site, but where else can they check you out?
Gift to Gab. You can check me out Twitter. On Twitter and on Facebook. Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon. Those are the main three places.
All right, man. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure,
big,
man.
Big fan of your music, and keep it up, man.
Absolutely. And thank you all for your time as well.
Oh, no problem. Gift of Gab.
Yeah, just on a side note, I looked up the lyrics. I have a question mark on when I get to the letter N. The first word.
I don't think you should do that one.
Yeah.
Well, you can think.
Nap knowing.
Well, I mean, if you could get all the other words correct, I mean, you did pretty good.
I screwed up on that one word.
How long is the lyric page on that? Because I've only listened to it.
I mean, I'm just scrolling.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah. It's
just try the A's.
All right. Artificial amateurs aren't all amazing. Analytically, I assault animate things.
It's not bad. Thank you. That was the best you've ever done.
Yeah,
why can
anything.
Why can you read that and not a news story? All right, try the B's. Go.
Broken barriers bounded by the bomb beat. Buildings are broken. Basically, I'm bombarding.
All right, like the first one was like A-. That one was like a B-.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the C's. Go.
Casually create cats.
This one's hard.
Yeah. All right, let me hold on.
He goes for a second attempt.
He's looking at the line.
He's looking at the line. He's reading the paper.
All right. Casually create catastrophes. Casualty. Canceling cats. They can't be. All right. That sucks.
Yeah. Remember when I challenged, like, when we did the shenanigans?
We didn't start the fire. Yeah.
This one would be insanely harder than that. Dude, it's so hard, and it gets faster and faster. Mm-hmm. But Gift to Gab, good to talk to you, man. That was a lot of fun.
Good guess.
Yeah, I got nothing big going on in my life.
Not a thing. I mean, it was
pretty bland.
Yeah, same old, same old. You still got that girl around?
Oh, her. Yeah, I mean, we went and, like, got engaged over the weekend.
Yeah.
Huh? What? But yes, I am hitched getting hitched, right? Hitching is the act of getting married. You're getting hitched.
I guess so.
So yes, I
Let me look up my 50s wedding lingo.
It's the bee's knees.
We're gonna huckle buck all night.
But yes, I am engaged, Mike Burlow.
Look at you.
I know.
Second time's a charm.
That's it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It was all meant to be, I guess. But yeah, we've been dating for about 3 years, so it was decided I'm not getting any younger, you know. I'm not getting any younger, and it was just the right time.
Yeah, you sound enthused by the whole excursion, if you will.
I am. The proposing is a hard thing to pull off.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Like, how long did you figure out, okay, I'm going to, when you got the plans ready, how long did it take you and how long before you knew I'm going to do it on X date?
Good question. I would say the idea probably came to me around September. The plan as far as, like, going forward, exactly Christmas Eve. I guess over the last 2 months, I started to think, okay, that would be a good day. And then I would say I put the whole plan in place probably mid-December. Everything was set.
What made you choose Eve over actual Christmas?
Well, I figured Christmas Eve is, like, one of my favorite nights of the year. I've always liked Christmas Eve. And I figured I knew Christmas, we'd be going visiting family, and this and Christmas Eve, I knew I had a whole lot of day to ourselves before seeing anybody.
Okay.
And, like, you know, it'd be nice to go see family and have, like, that announcement rather than do it the next morning, and then, like, I don't see that family for another couple, you know, months, 6 months, something. So, Christmas Eve, it was. But, yeah, it was funny story. I ordered the ring online from this company, and I had to be home to sign for the package. And
please tell me she was home.
No. But of course, I'm home. I take, like, a half day from work, and, you know, they're like, "Oh, the package will be there between 8 and 11," you know, something like that. And you know how those things work. Usually, I always think it's, like, the late side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? I really gotta poo, and I'm like, I better go now because it's gonna come, like, I'm going to go later, and it's going to come right when I'm in mid-poo.
Mid-poo, yeah.
And then, sure enough, as I'm pooing, I hear Obi start go. I'm like, oh no! And then, and I'm talking like mid poo, like not tail end where you can clean up a little bit.
There's still some turtle heads coming out.
Not at the beginning where you could suck it back up. Like mid, like all. So I have to like. Luckily, I had like basketball shorts on, but I had to like duck walk to the, to the door. And he's going nuts, and I'm just like, and she's like, oh, you know, have a good holiday, and like trying to, you know. I'm like, all right, thank you.
Oh, wait a minute, there's some more paperwork here. Can you hold on for 10 minutes?
Oh, wrong box. But yeah, so that was pretty funny.
It'd be great if you went to propose and it was just another shirt for Tecmo Madison.
Never open the box.
Will you marry me with the Sean Kemp jersey?
I probably should have checked that. Well, it's funny.
I thought it was big for a ring.
I did like, I won't go into all the details, but I had like little pictures that are actually still hanging up on the wall. Pictures around, and I put Obi in a little dog tuxedo.
Was that made or did you order that?
I ordered it on Etsy. Okay. There's all sorts of stuff like that out there. But, you know, I put him in so he would be the one to answer the door and she'd kind of be like, what the heck's going on here? And I almost blew it a couple weeks prior because I guess I left
you were mid-poo again?
Because I left a receipt or a advertisement thing that came with it and Alex is like, what's this? Did you order a tux for Obi? I'm like, I just like chicken. Like, nah, you know, okay with the.
I like my dog to be fancy when we go on walks. Okay,
should have just been like Berlo probably left this here. But
what, honey? What did you hear from Alex? What?
But she was surprised, and all went well, and now it's on to planning a wedding and figuring out what we want to do for that. So.
So what kind of shotgun are you going to use at the wedding?
12 gauge.
You know, that's your standard.
I'm traditionalist, you know?
That's very cute of you. You know? You're going to get the buck salt where they have to like pour it in. Now you stay there for 10 minutes while I load.
So I am excited. You know, life is good. Life is good. So,
like, how nervous were you on the day? Any thoughts on her getting cold feet you getting cold feet?
No, I mean, I knew she would say yes. You know, she's drunkenly suggested it before, like, oh, yeah, I'll put a ring on it. You know, like, and actually, how I figured out what type of ring to get her, she was just babbling in the car one day about it, and I recorded it on the phone, like what she liked, and then I kind of interpreted it from there. Like,
see, if you're really smart, you would tech note to insert that wave file right here.
Yeah, it's not like good quality. It's pretty far away, but so yeah. Day of, I was pretty nervous. I had like made myself a stiff drink beforehand, like to kind of calm the nerves, and I was okay.
Then you forgot what you were doing, and then you yelled at her.
Where's
then you
the ring?
Off, and
where's the
then
you're ring? Like,
oh, wait a minute. That's why I put the dog in the tuxedo outfit.
How'd that dog get dressed up?
Oh man, I'm drunk.
But yeah, it's exciting and nerve-wracking all at the same time, but good to go, man.
Look big at you. Big news.
I was looking up some of the worst proposal stories ever. I looked up a couple that came from Reddit.
See, right off the bat, before we get into those, I'd say any person who proposes at a sporting event is an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
Any person. You just basically have to force them, and now we're getting the joke nose. You know, where the girl runs off, and you're like, okay, I can tell this is staged.
Yeah, I never wanted to do, like, a big spectacle. I wanted it to be kind of private, and I don't know. I wasn't going to put a ring in a biscuit at a restaurant or something like that, or I don't know. You know, I had thoughts about, like, doing it at a show or something weird like that. I'm like, but that's stupid. Like,
that'd be great.
I don't want anybody else around.
Like, you were bombing and, like, I got an idea.
Well, I did have an idea. I didn't even tell her this. I did have an idea early on, like, I was going to do some kind of – I was going to get Carney, Rich, and Joe in on it and, like, do some kind of improv game and bring her on stage, like, as the competitor somehow. And then it'd be like – I don't know, some kind of like Dream Man sketch or something, and then I'd like come out or something. But I was like, that's too much. That's no one wants to do that in public. Like, I don't know. I don't think girls
Plus
even want that.
Plus, you're horrible at improv. Yeah.
I don't think girls even want that. Like the big spectacle.
No,
like, because then it's like forcing it. You know,
exactly.
Like, forcing reaction and attention. And
It's not natural, the yes, you know?
Yeah. So I looked up a couple of these. So these just came from Reddit. I guess they did a poll on Reddit. A guy I knew, a really stupid guy, got his girlfriend a diamond ring as a birthday present, not intending any larger message. She unwrapped it and said, oh, yes, of course I will. He went through with the proposal rather than deal with the awkwardness. And apparently that marriage did not last.
Well, for starters, I mean, as a man law, don't be giving out diamond rings as a birthday gift, because then they're going to tell their friends and then we're in a bad spot. And you got me a dress for my birthday. Cheryl got a diamond ring.
Next, a guy wanted to propose to his girlfriend at Disney World. Very common, usually in front of the castle, usually with staff involved for pictures and stuff. Usually Disney do what they can to make it special. But this guy tried to step it up and do a proposal on top of Splash Mountain and lost the ring.
Okay. Well, I mean, aren't you strapped in to begin with? How did he figure he was going to...
I don't know. Maybe, like, put it in a pocket and, like... Had, like, wiggled his hand
to
get it?
A Ziploc bag so it doesn't get wet. I mean, what the... That's just dumb.
Yep.
I'm sorry, dumb. No excuses. Next issue.
Arrange a fancy date night with your girlfriend, including dinner at a posh restaurant. In the middle of the meal, fake a brain aneurysm. Bite into a concealed blood pack, collapse on the floor, the whole bit. A doctor or nurse planted at an adjacent table rolls onto your back, checks you, and says that you are not breathing and you will have no pulse. He or she rips open your shirt to apply a defibrillator, revealing, "Will you marry me?" written on your chest in red body paint.
All right. Way too much trauma there. Yeah. Way too. I mean, just the different
things. Scaring the hell out of the girl for life, like scarring her, not a good idea.
Yeah. And you know there's going to be like one doctor in there who's just going to like sprint over and start punching you in the chest to get you to breathe again.
The way my dad proposed to my mom, dad said, how much weight do you think you could lose by September? Mom said, wait, what? I was thinking we could have a wedding then.
Yeah, that sounds smart. I don't see one problem with that statement.
This other person said their dad's method was pretty bad. He was supposed to pick up mom from work on his motorcycle, and he was late. She was pissed and chewed him out the entire way home. When they got home, he was fuming, said something along the lines of, you want to know why I'm freaking late? Here, and slammed the box with the ring in it. He had been late because he was picking it out. She learned this when... she told her parents I was going to propose to my girlfriend and was told that I should not under any circumstances try that method himself.
Hmm. Well, I think he got that,
fine, let's get married. Yeah. That doesn't seem to work too well.
It seems like he luckily found this out before the said proposal. It'd be kind of worse if she said, oh, okay. It's like, wait a minute, I got to deal with this?
Here's a cheesy one, stupid one. He proposed to his wife using the police. I had her get pulled over and then told her she was a suspect in a theft crime. She got all nervous, and then the police officer pulled out a picture of him and told her, you stole this man's heart. Then he got out of the back of the cop car and dropped on one knee.
All right, we kind of talked about on the podcast how I was in the back of a cop car. There is no room back there. So right off the bat, no. Right off the bat, no.
I'm not down with the scaring the hell out of your wife, your fiance, and then be like, hey, let's get married.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like a funny thing. It should be just straightforward, to the point, kind of romantic, thrown in there as well, you know?
This couple got engaged drunk at a rock festival with a ring made of two pieces of grass knotted together. She said yes, but realized it was a terrible mistake. So he proposed with a
ring. I don't see how. When you're at a Warrant concert, that's where the love begins.
Hey, this guy's an innovator. If he can get away with just giving grass and not buying a ring, God bless this man.
Grandma and Grandpa, how did you get together? Well, we were at a docking concert, and they started singing Dream Warriors, and we had the dream.
My ex cheated on me. We broke up and spoke some and decided to work on it. It had been at that point a two-year relationship and just a week away from Valentine's Day. I refused to sleep with him again until he got tested. I didn't think he actually had something. He did, an incurable something. He came over, told me. I cried. I said something to the effect of, if I have this, I'm ruined for anyone else. He said, well, if you have it, want to get married.
What the? Infectious diseases on proposals?
Yes.
Bravo. Bravo. I don't know how you mix the two together, but that's your chocolate and peanut butter, I guess.
And the last one, her husband proposed to them during a weed-induced sex session. She said yes, and he never remembered afterward. She said they eventually got married anyways, but he didn't remember proposing.
I don't remember, but okay. Those are the best marriages.
But, yeah, so that's some proposal. So I think I did a better job than those guys.
Yeah, I'll give you credit. No.
But
I mean, I still would have liked you proposing while you're pre-pooping.
a pre-poozle.
Here comes the turd.
You did a lot of cool things.
Yes, I did. We kind of did a little mini Christmas vacation, a kind of mini Burlew week of discovery, if you will. We went to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, for our Christmas little vacay and our little gifts to each other.
Okay.
So
did you choose Lancaster or did she choose Lancaster?
Technically, I would say her, but it was one of those, like, we were bummed out. I mean, I'm still in between jobs and we kind of agree we're not going to do exchanging of gifts or whatever. Right. So, I know she always talked about wanting to go back to Amish country. She said she was there before and loved it. So I'm like, all right, why don't we do a weekend over there? It was only like 2.5 hours.
It'd be great if you
find
like old pictures of her, like making out with some Amish dude, and like, I loved it there,
babe. You were one of the children of the corn. What?
All right, so you go to. From your pictures, it seems like you went to every Christmas place on the East Coast.
Well, first we had to get the Amish experience, Scott.
So you just stayed in a barn somewhere?
Yeah, well, somewhere. I mean, we did a horse and buggy ride with an Amish person who they call it a barn tour, which is pretty much he just brings you to his house and he shows off his house to you.
Okay.
So
fun.
Yeah, so like right off the bat, I had no idea there's different types of Amish where they couldn't use, some of them can use like equipment and stuff. Cause we pull up to his house in a horse and buggy. And when we pull up there, his son is in a bobcat, like picking up grains and so forth. And I'm just staring, hey, wait a minute. I don't think the old school people use those.
He's cheating.
Hey!
Dave Chappelle's new special, by the way, has a bit about like how he respects all religions but Amish people. He's like, because their gods are stupid. Like, he's like, I pull up to them and I'll be like, yo, oh wait, I can't hear you. Let me just turn this air conditioning down. And he's like, you know how cold it's gonna be tomorrow? No, you don't. Like, he goes through all these things. It's great. Anyway,
but so. He gave us a tour of his like barns or whatever, keeping the Izzy Burlew straight. There were two dogs there that we paid most of our attention to. He was talking about farming and all that. We didn't catch one word. We were scratching a labradoodle and another dog.
Yeah. It's like you black out. Like, you just, something goes, yeah. And you don't know, you're not aware of anything else around you.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was in Lancaster County. What? I remember petting a dog, and I'm here. What?
Maybe you and Izzy should do like what the island people did, make their own island, but just like fill it with stray dogs and just like roll around all day.
I'm tempted. All right, 2018 resolution. Build island.
Build dog island.
Get stray dogs. Cage up Callie because she goes nuts over stray dogs.
Well, you figure if there's like hundreds of them, you won't even notice anymore. They'll all just be playing and having fun.
No, she will try to kill them. Other than Obi, she will try to kill any dog in existence. Like, one, I was walking today with her and some guy's dog got loose and he ran up and I picked her up and she got so agitated she bit my arm in an attempt to get out of my arm to go after the dog.
Nice.
So I was happy.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so.
But he showed off, we saw a bunch of cows, some donkeys, some calves or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everything was very cute, you know, very Amish-y, if you will. But still, like, he's showing us where he's taking the milk and on this, like, big, container with all electronics or whatever. I'm like, hey, babe, we got to get his credentials.
Poser.
And
all right,
but
so
the guy was kind of cool also because he said, like, you know, his one son is Amish, his other son wasn't. He told a story how the kid is a truck driver and he was in the bad part of Camden and he went to get a soda with leaving the keys running in the car.
Probably not the greatest of moves.
No, because somebody stole it, and then he had to get a taxi to, like, go around Camden trying to find his truck. And then when they found the truck, they couldn't find the key, so he had to wait for a locksmith and told the guy he couldn't leave. But the only good news was apparently he had, like, $5,000 in the, one of the compartments, and the guy didn't even check. So.
That's good. That's good.
So after that, yeah, then it was two tours of Christmas villages.
Ah.
Yeah, the first one, let me bring up the name, was the National Christmas Center Family Attraction and Museum.
Now, was this the one where you were pictures of you petting fake animals?
That was, yeah, that was with the reindeer where I did the joke picture where it was...
The joke.
Yes, the joke.
Quote-unquote joke.
I did it specifically
for you. There were no dogs around, so you made do with what was there.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Now, these pictures look like things of, like, nightmares past, like lots of dolls.
Well, that was the second one. This is, they had, like, wax museum kind of people, if you will, and... As you see, I'm showing you Izzy, like, you know, kind of posing with a wax Santa Claus and giving a frowny face with what I guess is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's me, actually.
So. Yeah. It's a weird wax figure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's that museum, and it was kind of cool for the most part. It was a lot of old school, like, scenery from, like, the 1950s, which you see in stores with Christmassy stuff. But in the end, it was kind of sad because the owner was on the side, and he's kind of, like, dressed up like an old school steampunk Santa.
Uh-huh.
And all the time he's talking about, like, people are coming up and crying because apparently they're shutting down the museum after, like, 30 years. And it appears like he has some kind of heart condition or whatever, and that's why they're shutting it down. So.
I smell a Christmas movie.
Yeah, Hallmark.
We gotta save Christmas Village! Mary!
Burley, that's not right.
Mary, we gotta save Christmas Village!
So we did that for about 2 hours. And then later in the night, we went to Cozier's Christmas Village.
Oh,
at
this point, are you Christmas down at all? Or are you enjoying this?
I'm enjoying it through her. Would be the best answer. It's not my selections on what I would do on a Friday night, but you know, the girl likes it. The whole part was to kind of get in the Christmassy mood, if you will. And now, those were the places where we saw the kind of devilish looking. Dolls and creatures
like
that I was sending to you. Like, at first, there's tons of lights over, and it's very cute, and, you know, we're posing with them. And then as I'm looking at the dolls, I'm like, oh, my God, this is kind of creepy.
That's right? Definitely, like, where one, like, elf comes out and says, psst, come down here. Like, see the other part of the music. And that's where it turns to, like, dark and twisted, like, the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff.
Yeah, the Santa Clauses come to life, and they pull out, like, chainsaws from their bag.
Oh, they don't pull out at all.
No?
No.
They just leave it in there? And then the other thing that amused me was they had, like, cardboard paintings of, like, different cartoon characters where, like, you get one where you're like, all right, this guy knows how to draw. He might be an animator. And then you get the other one. It's like, okay, that's not Garfield.
Its eyes are all offset.
Yeah. It's like, this is like the 8-year-old who shows you a picture. You're like, yeah, that's so good. That's
good
Scooby
job.
Dude, no, it's not? Okay. It's Wonder Woman. All right.
Well,
so that was my first night. And add to it, the hotel we were at, I could tell it was a converted school because it had a tetherball in the back and had, like, it had, like, a swing set and stuff like that. I'm like, what
the heck? You ever look out and see, like, spirits swinging on them or playing tetherball?
No, that'd be creepy.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, we kept the shades down. Like, like, the one thing we looked forward to was, like, it had, like, a sauna area, and we go there, and it's like, yeah, we had a fire back in August, and there's, like, hoses everywhere.
You could use them.
Yeah, it was, like, room temperature. I'm like, I don't think this is how
Feel
it
free
works.
To go to our sauna.
Yeah. Santa's back there, you know. He started the fire.
Well...
So on the second day, that's when we went to Hershey Park for the chocolate exhibit.
Ah.
And that was the fun. We got to be palate experts on how to taste chocolate.
Oh.
You learn how to put it on your mouth and let it melt on there. And you can taste stuff. Like, some of the categories are soft cheese and leather.
And you know the taste of leather.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Your man pup days.
We keep talking about
it. Will not die in the new year, just in case you're wondering.
I'm not a man pup. How many times I gotta tell you?
What do you gotta do? Like, are they teaching you to, like, what they have to do, or is it just all a sham?
They have a person there. They'll give you, like, four different types of chocolates from different companies that they have, and they give a little demo where it's, they say what you want to do is basically you look at four different things. You look at the color of the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
You break the chocolate near your ear.
Oh, the sound.
For the sound.
Mm-hmm.
You put the chocolate in your mouth, and you just kind of let it linger on there and let it melt on your tongue and kind of figure out what kind of flavors you have. They have a full wheel of different types of flavors. It's kind of equivalent to a sommelier for wines. Nice. It's a similar thing. They actually have chocolatiers that all they do is do that. I think we brought it up in New Jobs for Burlew once. But
did you apply while you were there? Or just...
No, I had the certificate, so I'll just put it on the resume, you know.
Chocolatier. That might actually get you some looks. Like, people be like, what?
What? Fixed phones and I eat chocolate.
See, now I'm picturing you, like, you're not the most Christmassy guy in the world, like, going through all these Christmas villages, like, ready to, like, throw, like, a stuffed penguin, like, a out through a window or something.
Again, if it was my normal self, probably. But it's like, all right, I'm doing this for the girl. I'm having fun with her. That's the key thing. I mean, it was, of all certain stories I've had, this is not the worst at all. I mean, I wasn't sitting back stressing, oh my God, get me out of here. Right. She was very happy. Plus, I went to Lancaster Brewing Company. We went to a winery before the Hershey Park, and after Hershey Park, they have their light show, so we did another 2 miles of driving through lights for there.
And you did another, like, one, like, the week before, right, in Denver, and
Skyline Stadium. I had done a few.
And the caverns?
The caverns, yep, I did that.
That one looks scary. We looked at that on Facebook or whatever, like, we're like, it looks, like, really old.
Yeah.
It's been the same for probably 40 years.
And then on top of it, she was kind of down, like, the day after Christmas, so we were just running around neighborhoods looking for lights. And all just, it's like, all right. Hey, look, honey, blue.
Chasing a dream. Yeah, I feel like me and Alex were talking about this yesterday. You know, the holidays come, I enjoy the holidays, and yesterday I visited the family again for New Year. I'm like holidayed out. I'm ready to kind of return back to life a little bit. Like, holidays are great, and then they're also, like, fine when they go too. It's like, all right. Normal life's just as fun.
Yeah, you know? Now, like, it's all making sure you get your decorations down before you start looking trashy.
Yeah, white trash. what did I say the cutoff was?
Like, you said the week after New Year's, if I recall, last year. Like,
I got to look it up.
Because I remember that from the last episode. I'm like, all right, I got a reason. And you're like, no.
Yeah, that's right. I had, like, an official cutoff for Christmas lights. Mm. I could use that for a month in comedy.
Yeah. No, why stop there? It's hilarious in July. Come on.
Well, that's like I did a couple, like, Roy Moore jokes the other night on stage, because I'm like, I'm only going to be able to use these for about a month, so might as well do them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's time to get out of here. Good first episode of the year, Burlew. Looking forward to year number 4 here. And we're just going to keep it going. We already got almost 2 months worth of guests planned. So, anything to promote, buddy?
We're going to promote TecmoBowlShirts.com. Our buddies from Tecmo Madison, they've been giving us some crazy awesome shirts for us from like NBA Jam, but they have their own website where they sell, it's pretty much all the stuff from Tecmo, Tecmo Super Bowl. It's different shirts. They have the Bow Nose Ugly Sweater.
Oh, yes.
They have all the teams, even the teams that weren't around during Tecmo Bowl days, like Jacksonville and Carolina, they have all the different shirts, the pixelated quarterbacks, the guys slamming the ball for a touchdown, all the classic poses from Tecmo.
Good guys
Super
over
Bowl.
There. We enjoy them.
Definitely.
Nice guy.
And they sent me an awesome shirt when we talked about it. I was a Sixers fan, and I was joking, saying, okay, I'm going to get a Jerry Stackhouse shirt or something like that, and it was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
In NBA Jam font.
NBA Jam font. It was so awesome. I still got to send a thank you out to Dave.
Send that pic over to me, too. I'll post it on our Instagram.
Definitely will. So, again, their site is TecmoBowlShirts.com.
All right. I am going to promote our friends Kim Boyko and her husband Dom. Good friend of mine over the years. They are Kim Boyko, the singer songwriter. Does a lot of videos. Got a good YouTube following going. But she was on one of our episodes back in the day, singing the songs and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you fell off your shirt.
I fell off the chair. I didn't fall off my shirt.
Yeah. No. No, that's Victor Wooten. Victor.
But they are starting a Facebook Live show to showcase their talented friends, I'm guessing different musicians and whatnot. So if you follow at 3SongsLive, the number 3, 3SongsLive, and check out their Facebook page every Wednesday at 7. So the first guest, well, it depends when you hear this, but it's on the 3rd. It's going to be Karen Hardy, but they're starting a little web show, a musician. So go follow at 3SongsLive. All right, guys, another year has come. We have want to thank you for listening and sharing and commenting. Let's keep that up. We got a lot of guests coming on for you. So go subscribe on Instagram, Twitter, and share the podcast is the most important thing you can do for us.
Side note, they were on episode 103.
103.
I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. We're looking at each other.
It'll make sense if you go and listen to it.
If not, just listen to it anyway.
So, yeah, 80 episodes ago. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That seems like – that doesn't seem that long ago. But
yeah, they were one of the first ones in 2016.
Yeah. Well, we had a great year, guys, and we're looking to extend that. So we want to thank Gift of Gab for coming on the show. Hit us up for some T-shirts, whatever you want, and come out to one of the comedy shows. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Now it's time for our wrap-up. Let's give it everything we've got. Ready? Begin.
Artificial amateurs run it all amazing. Analytically, I assault, animate things. Broken barriers bounded by the bomb beat. Buildings are broken, basically I'm bombarding. Casually create catastrophes, casualties, canceling cats, got the canopies collapsing. Detonate a dime a tank, daily doing dope. Demonstrations, Don Dada on the down low. Eating other editors with each and every energetic, epileptic episode, elevated etiquette.
Come on, bro, I thought you knew all the words.
I want to go first,
the fanatics. Gift got great, global goods gone glorious. Getting godly in this game with the glorious. Hit him high, hella hype, historic.
This one deserves to go to the end. I'm gonna play this one through. Bye, guys.
Imitators analyze, I intimidate in an instant. I'll rise in an irate state. Juiced on my dams like Jerry Curls, chalking joints. Justly, it's just me writing my journals. Kindly, I'm kindling all kinds of King Kong. Karate kick type Ritz in my kingdom. Let me live a long life lyrically. Lessons is learned, lame louses just lose to my leverage. My mind makes marvelous moves, massive. Marvel and move, many mock what I've mastered. Niggas nap knowing I'm nice naturally. Knack never lack, make noise nationally. Operation opposition off, not optional. Out of sight, out of mind, widening opticals. Perfective poem, powerful punchlines. Pummeling, petty powder puffs in my primes. White quaint clothes, keep quiet as quantum. Quarrelers ain't got a quarter of what we got. Really raw raps, rising up rapidly. Riding the rushing radio activity. Super scientifical, sound search sought. Sinusing, stupefy saps that are soft. Tails 10 times, talented, too tough. Take that, challengers, get a tune up. Universal, unique, untouched, unadulterated, the raw, uncut, verb by smart, victorious, valid, violate vibes that are vain, make them vanish, while I'm all well, what a wise wordsmith, just weaving up words, weeded up, on my work shift, Xerox, my X-radiation grows extra large, X-height letters,